It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, a non-payday Friday,
Damn.
We could all use the money right now. Trust me. College football starts tomorrow, and I want to gamble. But I'm broke, baby. I'm broke.
9 a.m., Bonte. You locked in?
Well, I am locked in. But however, I hope my flight is locked in, because I think I'm flying out at 9:30 tomorrow.
Pay for that Wi-Fi.
Just watch. Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Dublin, Ireland. I don't know if you ever watched go down to Florida State Twitter thread, but my one guy, the play-by-play announcer, always interviewed. No, it's an awesome thread. Love it. But my one guy does a play-by-play, interviews the players, and he has that accent. Hey, here I am with Florida State Athletics. And it's pretty good, man. Anyway.
Is that the Tallahassee accent?
That Tallahassee, Florida State accent. I got to get his name. I'm going to get his name in a second. But good morning, everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? Good morning to all the graveyard shift workers. It was a slow night. No sports in the Bay Area. Well, you had the A's.
Big win yesterday.
Big win.
Yeah,
big
huge.
Win.
Played against the Rays.
Hey, man.
Mason Miller, 20 saves on the year, Bonte.
Hey, they're playing good ball.
They actually are. I think they have like the fifth best record since the All-Star break.
They're playing good ball. Giants are going up to Seattle to take out the Mariners, who fired their manager. And he didn't find out until he saw it on Twitter, the breaking news tracker, Scott Service. God.
Could you imagine that? Like, you were getting fired, but you didn't even know about it for a couple hours. But, hey, you know what? Hey, Shams just tweeted that I'm out. Jeff Passan.
Jeff Passan.
You're fired, buddy. I've never even talked to this guy in my life.
You look up like this, you're like, oh, wait, I'm locked out of the yard? I can't go to Safeco Field or T-Mobile Park, whatever it's called now. You're telling me I can't go in?
That's me riding my scooter at 4 a.m., getting to the door of the building. My key card doesn't work. And then I just get back into my car, go home, get in my Taurus, my 2001 Ford Taurus, go across the bridge to Oakland, and then I see Matt Nahegan tweet. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Gone.
Just like that. Press release. And then you see the Twitter bio just deletes everything.
Just gone. Just I have to clean
sports
everything.
Enthusiast.
Sports free agent.
Sports free agent. Formerly 95.7.
Formerly pregame show. Looking for work.
Formerly fill-in. Formerly promo intern. Jeff Colhane. Colhane is the director of broadcasting for the Seminoles and the play-by-play voice of the Seminoles. And he's been down there for many, many years. Here, I'm just going to play this into the mic real quick so you get a sense of his accent.
I'll tell you what, we're ready to get to Dublin. That is for sure. But the Noles just wrapped up their final practice here in Tallahassee. Ryan Fitzgerald here with us to talk about one of the top kickers in the entire country. And
so that's just a little...
That is great. Like everybody in the panhandle of Florida.
I just love it. He's just so happy. And he's talking to Cam Davis, who's a freshman running back. Cam, it's just so good to have you from Georgia. And you're a running back and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, good morning, everybody out there. YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Yesterday, we had a hell of a show. Obviously, Joe Spinotti filling in for Joe Shasky. The babies are sick at the house, so he's got to do some daddy duty.
Yeah.
Feel better, LJ. Feel better, Michelle. Get right, Shasky. Hopefully, you have a great weekend. I'll see you after Labor Day. The ball he was in yesterday, it was a lot of fun. 4 hours of fun, and George Kittle kind of stole the show. I think George Kittle stole the show so much, we may have to replay that interview at about 8 o'clock. He was into it. We had a lot of fun with George Kittle, whether it was shoes, whether it was football, technique.
He dropped an S-bomb. That's when you know they're comfortable, man.
Hey, when you know you're comfortable when you're dropping it, and that happens every week. We got a freestyle from Duke yesterday.
We did.
Freestyle from Duke, which was fire. He's already sealed the deal on a Doobie Award.
I mean, Duke came in after I played Eminem rapping about Brian Balding. Which was pretty sick, by the way. I forgot about that verse. It was pretty sick. And then Duke, like, it's nothing. He's like, yeah, I'll follow Eminem. All good.
How about Paul D. dancing? It's like my street cred went up. I'm in a rap song. I'm not going to lie. When I get involved in a rap soccer, you get involved. That's next level, Spinotti.
Yes, and they're immediately becoming my favorite rapper. Absolutely. Right. He's like, absolutely. Eminem's my guy. I don't care if he hasn't done anything in a decade. He's my guy.
I just want E40 to jump on. I'm trying to seal the deal like a Bonte Hill.
You've been thinking about that.
That was off the top of the dough. Off the top of the dough right there.
Bonte was in the shower this morning. He's like, damn, Baldy's like, what if E40 rapped about me? What would it sound like? And then Anna's like, stop rapping. I hear you.
I just want to be the one and only thrill like I am, the Bonte.
Oh, look at that. Air horse.
Feeling great today.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday. That's why. You know what? I got some great sleep. You know why, baby Chad spent the night at the grandparents' house?
Oh, nice.
No interruptions with the sleep. Got the rest and chill. Now, I did watch the Steve McNair doc yesterday. Sjasky were recommended it, and it was an hour, and it was like, wow. Anna didn't know who McNair was.
Pretty heavy stuff.
But at the end of it, she goes, after watching McNair throw a bunch of passes, she goes, what position do you play? Wide receiver? I said, Anna, you just seen him throw the ball 15 times, right? He's a quarterback. And then by the end of it, she was like, that's my type of quarterback. He's tough.
He's tough.
But it didn't end well for Steve McNair. No, did not end well, man. It
was really sad.
Yeah, man. He was
so good, too. What was that so Madden good. Cover he was on?
Oh, wow. He was on a Madden cover.
Oh, 4-3?
Maybe, because he was co-MVP with Peyton Manning.
He was really good. People sleep on just how good that guy was, man.
I mean,
he gets slept on because, obviously, Kurt Warner won that Super Bowl, created a show on turf. But that drive at the end, I just remember, like, that's one of my first big sports memories. I was 6 years old when that happened, Bonte. And my dad just got home late from work. And we were all just huddled around the TV, some of my brothers and I.
Right.
And we were all just like, oh, my God, they came so close, bound to the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
Great tackle to end it. And then Kevin Dick Vermeil said it was it. Yeah, that's it. It's over.
Yeah. But he had to play before where he broke out of a sack. That was his thing. And the magnitude of Steve McNair, like, when he was drafted, because, all right, so that was 95. He was drafted 3rd overall by the Houston Oilers. The OG Houston Oilers, but out of the uniforms were great.
Should have stayed the Oilers, by the way. Titans. Should have stayed the Oilers.
Yeah, but they had to rebrand. Tennessee Titans ain't a bad name. It's not the worst name.
Oilers works, though, too. That's the thing.
I agree.
It's the South.
I just love the helmets. I miss the helmets. The oil decker on the top of the helmet. I don't know why the Texans just stay. Yeah, it's just so clean. But he's drafted 3rd overall by the Houston Oilers in 95. I was 13 years old, Spadoni. 12 years old. Turned 13 in September of that year. And the magnitude, like, you think about it now. A guy out of an HBCU getting drafted 3rd overall by playing quarterback. Like, the documents and the dialogue around that in today's day and age, well, he didn't play anybody. He's playing at an HBCU. What the hell is going on here? This guy was the 3rd overall pick out of an HBCU, Alcorn State. And at the time, it was pre-internet. So, you know, I just remember when I was watching college football, and it was showing his highlights. It'd be all Grady. John Saunders would be in the studio, and it was like he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. And it was like this video game. It was like, is that guy even real? And his numbers at Alcorn State was through the roof.
He was ahead of his time. Like, as a quarterback goes, like, you think you could, like, hit, like, Patrick Mahomes is now the prototype, right? Like, that's what you want as a quarterback. But, like, Steve McNair is a guy you could plug in right now, and he could be a difference maker on any team in the NFL.
Dual threat.
He's got the cannon. He's got the legs. Like, man, just
tough
again,
as nails.
Tough. That's the other thing, too. Underrated toughness of him. And, you know, I was watching, I don't know if you watched the Amazon Prime broadcast last night. They were doing Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
It was Colts-Bengals. I think the sound's on your board there. And I just had to roll my eyes because I heard a take. And I had to do a double check. And I saw Awful announce that they posted it. So I got the sound. But Kirk Herbstreet
said something. Yeah, I saw
yesterday.
This.
And I couldn't believe it in regards to Anthony Richardson.
Hold on. I'll play it because I listened. But I'm not going to lie. I kind of agree with Herbie.
Wow.
Do our roasters agree with Herbie?
Let me ask you something here. If you're Shane Steichen, best case scenario, Anthony Richardson, he lives up to what we all hope he can do. Running, throwing, he's healthy. This team has a great year, and he's a superstar, right? What if he struggles? What if he has a good drive or a good game and then a bad game, a good game and a bad game? He's a pick. Everybody's kind of expecting him to be the guy. You got a guy like Joe Flacco with the roster they have. I just wonder how you handle that if it goes down that path, if you're Shane Steichen, because you know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco.
It's already starting, and Anthony Richardson threw an egregious pick six. They're going to have a long leash with him, but I do worry about Anthony Richardson. The injuries, is he really ready for this? He's exciting, But Flacco is waiting in the wings, and in the back of a lot of Colts' minds, you know how the fans are going to do. The Colts start off, say, 2-4, and Anthony Richardson is struggling. And those fans know what Flacco did in Cleveland last year. Oh, that noise. Herbie, look, it's a little premature.
How did it end in Cleveland, though? He looked horrible against the Texans.
He did, but like, he got him there,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. It was, great. It was a fun story. He's 39 years old, Monte.
I agree.
Anthony Richardson is 17 years younger than him. And when he got drafted into the league, what did everyone say he was? It's a project.
He's a project.
Everyone's the Colts knew he was a project. So you're redshirting him basically because he got injured early last year. And who's in your division right now? C.J. Stroud, the Houston Texans. Trevor Lawrence just got locked up. And we'll see Will Levis, who showed some flashes last year. You need to have your young guy. I agree. I need him to play all season long through the struggles.
I 100% agree with that. If I was running the Colts, I would do that.
I think Shane Steichen's smart enough to do that, though, right?
But you know how it works. It's his second year. And they feel like they have a lot of talent on that team. A lot of talent. The noise will get louder if he struggles. You know how the NFL works.
Didn't we learn from Trey Lance? You got to play these guys, man.
Yeah, no, listen. Hey, this text right here in 530, Xfinity Mobile text line, is right, spot on. The era of the long leash is over. You imagine, so like he brings up Troy Aikman, who went 1-15 his rookie season, and he got beat up. Peyton Manning, his rookie season, led the league in interceptions. I agree. I'm with you. Anthony Richardson needs to play. And if I'm the coach, he needs to play. But the noise, you can't stop the noise. And there's going to be one fan, there's going to be one radio host, there's going to be one writer, and it's just going to snowball if he struggles. So he has to play well. I don't think Flacco doesn't strike me as a dude that if they are struggling, hey, Shane, man, just let me throw a couple passes to Michael Pittman. Let me hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. Let me make this do what it do. Like, that noise, Herbie's on it. He's saying that, look, it's an uncomfortable conversation. But we know how this works. We know how this works, Madoni.
I mean, there's also levels to it. And I don't want to go to this length, but I saw it already on the timeline. He's 22.
Yeah.
He's young. He's black. And now we got the 39-year-old white guy who hasn't done he's the great white hope from Cleveland last year. And that's like that's what I saw on my timeline, too. Yeah. And that's what it is. That's nasty and stuff like that. And that's just like I was watching last night. I was like, really? After a preseason pick six?
Right.
Which means absolutely
nothing.
Like, come on. Like, I've seen Brock Purdy should have thrown an egregious pick last week. I think Brock Purdy's going to be amazing this season. Right. Like, it means nothing. And it was thrown to a bunch of scrubs.
But listen, like, even Brock Purdy struggled in the playoff game, but people thought about going to Sam Darnold, which is ludicrous, and it's insane.
Oh my God.
It's insane, but that's what we do. And by the way, Anthony Richardson, I wasn't that impressed with him at Florida, so I was a little surprised he was picked so highly.
I wanted the Raiders to get him so bad.
You know, I think he could be really good, but I think you need a big-time run game. You ask him to pass the ball 30 times a game, I think you're asking for trouble at this point of his career. You got to ride Jonathan Taylor.
Yes.
You have to ride him in that run game, play action pass, and do what you do.
I love Shane Steichen, not to cut you off there, Bonte. He's perfect for that, too. He was showing it early on the season. He was trying to, you know, highlight his strengths and limit his weaknesses with what we're seeing with Sean Payton right now with Bo Nix, right, in the preseason.
Right.
They're trying to get him out on the run, trying to get these pre-designed plays where he's on the run, he's throwing on the boot, stuff like that, boot action. So
I'm with you. I would play him.
Yeah.
I would play him. However.
But you're not going to be shocked. I'm not going to be shocked
if the noise, and I don't think it has nothing to do with race. I don't think it's black, white.
No.
People are going to make the layers.
Exactly.
You know, but it could be flip-flopped, right?
Yes.
If Anthony Richardson had Joe Flacco's resume, Joe Flacco was a young white hotshot.
Exactly.
And he was struggling. People will be calling for Anthony Richardson. This has nothing to do with color.
Yeah.
This just has to do with, like, the elephant in the room is you have a Super Bowl quarterback who's on the bench. And he had won. Didn't he win Most Improved Player?
Comeback
player of the year?
He did win a comeback
player
of the year.
So now you got that.
Over DeMar Hamlin. A lot of people
Over DeMar Hamlin. Yeah, which was, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, we'll see about Anthony Richardson. We'll see about that. You mentioned, by the way, shout out to our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. And don't forget, we're qualifying two more people as we get the flushing sound. We have two more people we're going to qualify today to have breakfast with the roast Friday, September the 6th, to kick off football. Football season with us. Listen, between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, we have 10 spots we're giving away. Each spot comes with a plus one that you can bring. And when you hear this sounder, Be the 10th caller and you win a spot for breakfast with the roast. Breakfast will be provided by Jack's Restaurant. We cannot wait for that. We got shameless shout-outs coming up at 7:45. Dave Fleming, 8:30. Wow. Your boy Q at 9:20, brought to you by the River Islands Guest Line. Look, we had Kittle on yesterday. We had a lot of fun. We got a lot of great questions as the Niners are back at the scene of the crime. When I say crime, the robbery that happened in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. The Niners are back for their preseason finale against the Las Vegas Raiders.
It's fun. I love that we're back to Raiders Niners preseason. Like that's we just need that. It feels like we're finally getting past that. And I know all the horrible stuff that took place at the Colley, at Candlestick, at Levi's, all that sort of stuff. But it is fun for Niners fans and Raiders fans to get together at the end of the day. Preseason's fun. It's chill. It's like whenever I go to like a preseason Lakers Warriors game. It's fun.
Yep.
There's no like let's just enjoy ourselves and watch some football. And we actually got some starters tonight, which is going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
First half of starters, potentially, for the 49ers, Monte. Yeah. I want to get your thoughts on that. Because there was people yesterday very upset about this idea. I was like, what? Like, well, they used to be the norm, right?
Well, you may have to play without Trent Williams. And you may have to play without Brandon Ayuk.
And I need to see what that looks like.
And we're going to get a glimpse of what it looks like, and I'm not sure if it's going to look pretty.
Well, it should, because the Raiders aren't playing anyone. So.
No, well, that's never mind it. Never mind it. They're not playing their starters at all.
No, Antonio Pierce announced yesterday, no starters for the Raiders are going to be playing.
Oh, man. I know. That's
you might get Aiden O'Connell, the backup, though.
Well, hopefully the Niners can protect the passer anyway, but, you know, they're at the scene of the crime. And Mr. Look, 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 Matt Nahegan sent us a text yesterday. He said, you know, there's something with the first time back there in Vegas where they lost the Super Bowl. Now, George Kittle told us yesterday that, it doesn't mean anything. It's a new season. We're over that. There will be no Super Bowl signage. I don't think you'll be able to smell the champagne because I'm sure the Raiders personnel got that smell out of there. That's
sure. I mean, but it's Vegas, so there's champagne in those suites and those club-level ones all the time anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's true. But the Super Bowl Moet is nowhere to be found, right?
No.
But is that a place that gives people nightmares now? Whenever you think about Las Vegas, or you're going to think about that Super Bowl. See, I don't think about the Superdome that way. The Niners lost to the Ravens there, but you know, they played the Saints there a couple times. They had that classic 48-46 game back in 2019.
You know, the power the Super going Dome. Out, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I think you power through it. But Matt was like, you know, for me, it's Cordell Stewart. Every time I see him on Twitter, it triggers me when he threw the Hail Mary at Michigan. But, you know, I think a better question today is, and it's a long-term view here at the 49ers, and this is where our roasters come through in a clutch. I mean, it is fascinating, the fan interaction we have on the show. Our man Zucci, mate, who's coming in with rejoins. He might as well be the third producer of the show now.
I love Zucci.
I get a text from him, DM on Instagram, at 5:33 in the morning. Hey, he's always, morning, brother B. I have a question that might be segment worthy. Hell, it may be show worthy. Which players or person on the current 49ers roster would benefit from a Super Bowl win the most? And I'm thinking to myself, damn, who would benefit from a Super Bowl win the most?
I know my answer, and I'm going to give it to you on the other side, but it's not even close, in my opinion, in who would do the most.
Possibly.
Oh, no. Really? Oh,
I'm
is that a tease?
I'm not
going to
give it away. Shout out the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Give it away.
No, I do know that song.
There you go.
I didn't know it was Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I give it away.
It's very catchy.
By the way, Jelly Roll, when George Kittle brought that up and I talked about my Jelly Rolls, the Tennessee Titans did something with Jelly Roll yesterday.
He's very popular right now. He's doing all the media circuits.
The Titans. I was like, somebody's trolling me.
His story's actually pretty powerful. Yeah, him and coming back from addiction, being in jail and prison, all this sort of stuff. Very inspirational. Got to look into it, Bonte.
888-957-9570.
I can go for a jelly donut right now, I'll tell you that.
I can't have a jelly donut because I need to get rid of Jelly Rolls. Basketball season's right around the corner. All right. Who would benefit from a Super Bowl win the most? With the 49ers.
I like that.
Would it be Jet York? The odor.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. You imagine if he wins a Super Bowl? The elevation he gets? 888-957-9570. That's coming up on the game, brought to you by Floor & Decor.
Somebody save me. Me from myself. I spent so long.
Love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate this too. It's the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys.
Oh, Kate,
most of the time.
All right, Kate, I don't know, man. I mean, I'll be in Philly next week, and I'm thinking about wearing Niners hats the whole time. Now, I don't know if that's a dangerous proposition.
I can go for a cheesesteak right now.
I can't wait. We get down there from New York, Ed and I, and we're going to get, I'm going to take her to Ishka Bibble's where Shazka and I went. We're going to get a cheesesteak.
It's going to be toasty in the East Coast. I'm going to be in North Carolina Thursday through Sunday next week, and the forecast is 94 degrees. Woo! With humidity, and I'm going to be golfing in that. So
it's not that heat; it's the humidity.
It's the humidity.
No, right.
The
humidity is no joke.
I'll get a nice tan when
this
I come
time
back.
In South.
Well, it's funny because I remember Big Dog and I were in Baltimore. We go from New Orleans to Baltimore, and then we drive up to Philly to go hang off at the Philly Zoo. And the car we were in, the AC it broke. So we're driving from Baltimore to Philadelphia, which is about a 2-hour ride through Delaware. And it's 100 degrees with 100% humidity and no AC. So it's like you roll the window down, but you're hot.
No. It's just hot air.
It's just hot. You're just stuck. And so then when they have these things, like we have 7-Elevens, they have Wawa's.
Wawa's, yes. I've been there. I have family. I live in Pennsylvania.
We would just stop at Wawa's and just stay in there for about 20 minutes. And that cold AC, like, you ready, bud? All right, let's do this.
Yeah, dude, it's when I first experienced humidity, because we are we're so blessed with the weather we have here in the Bay Area, Northern California.
Right.
It's second to none. But the first time I experienced that humidity was in Pennsylvania when I was flying out, like in sixth grade or something, when I was like 11 or 12. And when you get out of that airport and it just hits you, it was like June, but at night, like at like 10 o'clock, I was like, oh, it's going to be chill. It's going to be nice. Just this thick, sticky air smothering your face. Mm. And it was just something I'd never forget. And to your point with the AC, we had a trip, and I'm one of 10, Bonte. So yeah. We had the big Suburban. We had a trip down to LA or San Diego when I was a kid. And we drove from Monterey all the way down there. I think it was San Diego. We didn't have air conditioning.
It
broke in the Suburban.
Oh, man.
And we had a bunch of kids.
Oh, man.
Windows down the whole time.
Oh, no.
We had 3-4-year-olds. We had a baby in there. I was in there. I was on my Game Boy. I was just locked in. But that might have been the worst travel experience of my life. And I remember that to this day. And I was 8 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the first time I experienced the humidity actually was a great sports weekend in Philadelphia. At least they thought it was. I was out there, Giants are playing the Phillies, Beltran gets traded to the Giants. So I'm at his first game at Citizens Bank Park, Phillies Giants. The Giants actually dealt the Phillies their first home loss of the season. And this is, I want to say, it was late July. And then the next day, by the way, the GM of the Phillies at the time was Ruben Amaro Jr. And Phillies, you and I run into him.
And Phillies, see him on MLB Network all the time.
He was like, Phillies just like, are you going to make a trade? I'm in my Giants guy. I said, you don't need a trade. You got enough power. He goes, why do you say that? I said, you got Ryan Howard, J-Roll. You don't need Hunter Pitts. Well, the next day they trade for Hunter Pitts. And on the flip side, on the football team, because it was blacked out in Philadelphia, all of a sudden the power went out because the humidity, the heat was too much. And, we're sitting there baking in the house, in Philly's house out there in Philly. They had traded. They had made the move for Nnamdi Asamoah.
The
dream team. And I remember paper, it was either Ray Dittinger or somebody else in the Philadelphia Daily News or the Philadelphia Inquirer. And it basically was like, the parade down Broad Street is going to be special. And then Vince Young was talking about, dream team. And it was wild out there in Philadelphia.
They got one of the Cromarties, too, right? I think there.
They were filling themselves. Yeah. They were talking Super Bowl. And this is when Twitter first became, I think, credible to a lot of mainstream people, because Philly's brother, Brandon, was like, dude, I'm seeing on Twitter that Nnamdi's an Eagle. And we're both like, Twitter? What? And he goes, well, now I see it on Facebook. We're like, come on, man. That's not credible. Wait for the big boys. And it was credible, all right. And I knew something had happened because Big Dog City had called like five times.
Big Dog.
And this is what Big Dog does.
Love Big Dog. He's going to the game tonight, by the way?
He's flying out to the game tonight. I talked to him yesterday. FaceTime. His daughter, baby Jaylee, started her first week of school this week.
Oh, good for her.
So she's loving it, even though she was in a mood yesterday.
It's tough. But it's tough. It's a transition. Benny had a hard first week, but he's made a lot of friends this week.
Baby Jaylee's doing well. Yes. She looks happy as heck. Big Dog says she doesn't even notice me when I come pick her up. She's still running around. But he's going out to the game today. But here's a classic Big Dog, and this may be a classic Raider move. Whenever a Raider moves on Spadoni to another team, classic Raider fans, he wasn't good anyway. He's a bum.
I will not say that about Nnamdi Asamoah. He did not say he was.
He shut
down half the field when he was here.
So when that move happened, I'll never forget, Philly Zoo changed his Facebook profile picture to Nobby. It was Nobby's mugshot from the Raiders.
Oh, my
God. And Big Dog's calling, so we get him on speakerphone. He goes, dude, forget Nobby. Y'all gonna see, man. Y'all gonna see. He ain't all that good. And he's just trashing Nobby. Big, you gotta get out. You gotta stop being so sour. Well, you know what? Philadelphia, Big Dog was kind of right. I love Nobby. Remember he came to studio?
Yeah,
he came to studio with Lakeith.
He's like an actor now.
Yeah, his wife, Kerry Washington.
Oh,
he's an actor. Yeah, Scandal.
God bless him.
You said it, not me.
Good for him.
You said it, not me. But no, Big Dog was like trash, but he was right. It was a disaster in Philadelphia.
And then Nobby came to the Niners, and that was a disaster, too. He was a Niner for a second.
He was a Niner.
So here, I have that dream team, by the way, the 2011 Eagles. That's when I graduated high school that year, 2011. Yep. Shout out 2011. Isaiah Trufant, cornerback. Nnamdi Asamoah, quarterback. Jason Babin,
Titans. Yeah.
Ronnie Brown from the Dolphins.
He had that play against the Niners where he was about to score at the goal line, and he like tossed the ball back, and it was a fumble. It was very weird. But that kind of cost him that game.
That's right. They got Cullen Jenkins, Donald Lee. I haven't heard Donald Lee's name in forever.
Wow.
Tight end. Evan Mathis, they got the guard.
Yep.
And then Vince Young, obviously, the backup to Michael Vick. And they had Jeremy Maclin.
Yep.
They had Deshaun Jackson. They were feeling themselves, and they stunk. Was that Andy Reid's last year? It was pretty close to that, right?
It was Andy Reid, one of his last years, and Juan Castillo was a defensive coordinator who had always been an offensive line coach. They made him a defensive coordinator, and it was a complete disaster. He had one more year after that,
2012. Yep. 2012, and they went 4-12, you're right. Yep.
So,
and then the Chip Kelly era started.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of interesting names on this Eagles team. Obviously, they have Vince Young as their backup, LeSean McCoy, Riley Cooper in his early days, Jeremy Maclin. God, he was such a baller at Missouri.
Riley Cooper actually was good. That's the thing, too. I thought he was pretty good, but then.
Yeah, he said what he said. But Maclin was really good, too.
Sean Jackson was on that team.
Jeremy Maclin was really underrated. He had
really
speed.
Good.
He could run all the routes. Maclin was tough.
Jason Kelsey's rookie year.
Oh.
Wow.
Look at that.
Very good. Very good. But the Niners came back. That was really what changed the mindset of the 49ers and the 49er fan base in 2011 when they rallied in that football game from 23-3. Alex Smith hit Josh Morgan with a big-time touchdown, had a big-time third-down play to Kendall Hunter in that football game. Of course, it ended with Justin Smith stripping Jeremy Maclin from behind. Niners recovered. The sideline goes crazy. And then Frank Gore runs it, gets a first down to seal the game. And that's when 49er fans started to believe, something's happening here.
Buffalo,
they improved to 3-1. They improved to 3-1 that season. So that was awesome. That was an awesome season. But we were talking about humidity and it related to Eagles and Niners. You see how it all ties together.
Well, we came in with the Kate rejoin, the Philadelphia stuff. I'll be in Philly. Well,
I will be speaking
of the Niners real quick because
Mitchell Ness is calling my name.
There you go. And Zucci, man, we'll get to his take because we did tease. Who would a Super Bowl be the biggest for on the 49ers?
Let me say this.
The most for.
925 says, I think the fans benefit the most from the Super Bowl win from the 49ers, so that way they can stop bragging about what they did over 30 years
ago. I'm not mad at that. The fans is always, for me, this in the separate tier. Yes, we want it for them, but then you go to the players, the coaching staff, the owners, if you want. But, are the Eagles still the biggest rival to the Niners in the NFC, Bonte? After the Saquon edition, something about the Hurts and Sirianni rift.
Yeah.
That, I have a hard time seeing that end well for them.
It's going to be interesting.
They're not Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
It's going to be interesting to see that first game in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil with the Eagles and the Packers.
Because
the Packers have all the hype. Everybody is on the Packers bandwagon. Jordan Love and the Romeo Doubs and the Christian Watsons and all those playmakers. And, of course, Josh Jacobs, now the running back up there in Green Bay, they are filling themselves with the Packers. They're getting a lot of hype to be Super Bowl contenders. And the Eagles are kind of just laying in the cut. They still have a lot of talent. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. But if they get off to a slow start and an offense doesn't click right away, that drum out in Philadelphia is going to beat louder and louder for Sirianni to get fired. So that's something we'll be watching. But when you talk about rival for the Niners, I think by the end of the year, Spadone, and Baldy was I've been kind of thinking about Baldy. You know, I love this defense coordinator that came over from Baltimore, McDonald. I love this guy. What he did, the concepts he was running against the 49ers,
confused
it was a blur. I thought it was 15 defenders on the field.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in all 22 like, damn, there's guys everywhere. They were sitting on, dude, they were picking off passes on wide receiver screens. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver screens. So I think by the end of the year, we're going to hate the two teams we're going to hate the most. The L.A. Rams and the Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh.
I think we're going to be looking inside the own division in the NFC West.
We're actually going to have a tight division this year, you think? Because it feels like it's just been a foregone conclusion that the Niners are going to coast through this. And I want to get to that on the other side because I'm not so sure.
And we'll get to Zucci's question as well. 888-957-9570. If the Niners do win a Super Bowl, who does that benefit the most? In terms of coaches, players, maybe it's the owner. We'll get to that and all your phone calls there on the other side. Plus, we'll replay George Kittle, 8 o'clock. Dave Fleming, 8:30, all on the Morning Roast. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Hey, Oreo Cookie's a real one. He calls in the pregame show like twice a week. I appreciate Oreo
Cookie. Yeah, no, you got it. He is a real one. He's been a real one for as long as I've been in 95.7 game. Missy and his sex on the Xfinity Bubble text line for many, many years. By the way, the football season is upon us, which means it is time for another Red and Gold Summit. Wednesday, September 4th at Fremont Bank at Fremont. The address is 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willard and Dibs will start things off from 2 to 4. The rest of the hosts will join from 4 to 6. I actually was impressed yesterday with Dibs on the show. Dibs is breaking it down, man. Dibs was in his bag yesterday. I'm not going OG, man. OG Dibs. He was in his bag when it came to this IUK stuff. He's breaking it down. I'm not mad at you, Dibs. Not mad at you.
I was actually impressed is a hilarious thing to say, though.
I know. I just give him some shade. That's, I know, Dibs. You know. It's all
that's like a vegan listening to the pregame show. Well, yes, but no, you actually did a pretty good job today. Actually, thanks, Matt.
Yeah. It's like you exceeded your expectations, Dibley. No. You've only been doing radio for 45 years.
There
but,
thanks.
You know. I like how it keeps going to 40, 45, 50 years. You know, I've been doing this since I actually came out of the womb. So
Dan Dibley is such an artist when it comes to that because no matter what the conversation is about, he's like, well, you know, kid, you know, my 28 years of radio. It's just like,
he does turn into BPA a little bit when he does that. Yeah.
I mean, I do have 28 years of radio, and then it becomes 29, then it becomes 39. It's like, all right, I get it. You've been in radio my entire life. All right, I get it, Dibs. I get it. That's why you're a Radio Hall of Famer. By the way, you can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve at Fremont Bank in Fremont, California. Again, that is Wednesday, September the 4th. And by the way, September the 6th, 2 days later, a lot of things going on here at the station.
It's awful. Awful lot.
Too much. Almost too much. Join 95.7 The Game at Hardy Park Friday, September the 6th for the Pettadelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Look, man, we got Flim coming up at 8:30. We got your boy Q. We got your boy Q. 9:20.
Oh yeah, Raiders baby. I'll be asking some Raider questions.
You love Q.
I love Q. He's very tapped in, not just with the Raiders, but with the NFL overall too. Yeah. He's been monitoring the 49ers situation. I do think that Niners fans need to take a step back though and just be grateful that their quarterback situation is not like the rest of the NFL, which a lot of it is just bad. Like you'll be seeing the Raiders tonight, and they're not going to be playing Gardner Minshew, who's their QB1. They'll probably be playing maybe Aiden O'Connell in the second half. I think Gus Bradley's son, Carter Bradley, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be playing most of the game. He's like the third stringer. But yeah, you should be thankful, 49ers fans, that in the years past, you know, you had the Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold. You got your guy.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
It's nice to just relax about that, right?
Week two of the Rams, River Spadone, week two of the Rams out of SoFi Stadium. I walked out of there. I think I did a video, and I walked out of there, and I just said, for the first time in a long time, I'm not worried about the quarterback position anymore.
Feels good. It's a good feeling.
17-10, no timeouts. Niners drive down 4.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
Hey, man, I am happy with Brock Purdy. I am happy with Brock Purdy! Yeah, sometimes you got to emphasize it, because some people just don't. They don't believe me for some reason. You know, I'm just well-rounded. Who's it that said I'm speaking Capanese? Who was it on YouTube the other day?
That was really good.
That was really good. It said I was speaking Capanese, which means it was all cap. I was lying. Said I was.
Well, you didn't know this, but I foresee the future.
Well, no, you don't, RJ. You don't.
Foresaw the Kings advancing past the Warriors a couple years ago, too.
Yeah, he did see that. A lot of them up there. By the way, Rocky Nuera sent me a photo. Shout out to D'Lo and KC up there in Sacramento to celebrate their 1,000th episode. Put on the show up there at ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. Oh, boy, let me tell you. I got some photos. So you know those.
Okay, what are these of? I'm kind of nervous now.
Well, not the photos you think, Spinotti. Get your head out the gutter.
Well, relax, you know, dude.
Come on, people.
Father of two over here, Vontae.
It's not the only
Father
fan.
Of two.
It's not the only fans photo, trust
Whoa.
Me. You know what I mean?
Come on.
We're not talking overnight dancers here.
We don't only roast here, not only fans.
You know, we're not talking about Aesop Wentz's Ambitious Ladies, all right? We're not talking about that magazine, okay? With all the great articles they're going to have being printed
Stop
in that bad boy. I'm telling you, just be reading that.
Must be a Friday.
Wow,
but,
dude.
You know, they've got the beam, light the beam, the Kings, go to one center. And you know how D'Lo and Casey always post that picture of me smiling in front of the go to one center. Well, they have little cutouts of that up in Sacramento. And one guy had that on this thermal. His coffee mug was Yeti, whatever it is, and he had the photo on his Yeti of me. I'm living rent-free in Sacramento. I'm getting no royalties.
That's a huge compliment.
They got me on T-shirts in Sacramento.
Are you Darth Vader up there? You're enemy number one?
They've got me on T-shirts in Sacramento.
Yeah, you need to be getting some money out of that. You need to figure
D'Lo
out.
Oh, D'Lo and KC, they're wearing Gucci's and Louis Vuitton. You used to see the outfits they wear just for a radio show.
Courtesy of you. They're selling all your merch, dude.
I mean, they're the best-dressed radio show by far in America. It's not even close.
I mean, we're both wearing polos. Today.
I mean, you go see what D'Lo and KC are wearing. I mean, D'Lo's doing a show wearing a Louis Vuitton pouch. KC's wearing shades. He's got the trim beard. Sometimes he's wearing the New York Yankee hat. He's got the Gucci's on. I mean, these guys, like, you know, we see the WNBA players and NBA players walking into the arena.
It's a fashion show now.
It is a fashion show for those guys.
Yes.
They walk into ESPN 1320, and it is a legit fashion show while they're talking sports.
I do appreciate dressing nice now that we kind of have to because we share an area with salespeople that actually have to dress nice when they come in too. But you remember how I used to dress, Bonte? I used to wear shorts, flip-flops, and a Hawaiian shirt and tank top.
Oh, my God. It was the best.
And I think my shows had never been better, too, because I was just so relaxed. Yeah. Now I got this collar. Yeah, it tightens in my shirt.
Yeah. No, it's not you.
It's not me.
It's not you.
It's not me.
You know, I got this guy on the text line. I don't know why he's been texting this for 4 years now. 4 years this guy's been texting me this. Bonte, are you wearing gray sweatpants today? I'm like, does he see me in the morning or something? I'm wearing blue sweatpants today.
You're like, I want to.
But you're right. These salespeople.
Like, that's what's wrong. It's the color of the sweatpants.
Right, it's the color of sweatpants. But no, seriously, you make such a great point, Spadone. We used to come in here with flip-flops because, first of all, the AC was broken in the other studio.
That
was about 90 degrees. So we're wearing T-shirts showing our belly buttons and everything. Like, damn, we're all fat and stuff. We need polos anyway. The sales staff being over there, you do got to step your game up a little bit. That's just what our domes.
It does.
It tightens us up a little bit.
But it also keeps us honest. That's what it does. And right now, we need to keep the San Francisco 49ers honest. And that's why they're starting their starters today in the first half, reportedly, against the Las Vegas Raiders, who are going to be playing their C squad or whatever. Although, you'll see some people that'll, like Tyree Wilson for the Raiders.
He needs to play.
He needs to play as much as possible.
He needs to
play. That guy's looking like a first-round bust right now. Top 10 pick last year by Vegas, where he should have had C.J. Stroud, but that's a Josh McDaniels special for another day.
Oh, my God.
Don't get me into that. Someone mentioned Josh McDaniels on the text line this morning, and I really, like, it almost threw off my show.
Well, listen.
That fraud.
This is where it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect of Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's how it works. Jimmy Garoppolo held back C.J. Stroud from being a Raider.
Back to Jimmy.
And he held back Tom Brady from being a Niner. Because McDaniels and Shanahan. Now, to Shanahan's credit, he won games. Shanahan's a dude. I got to say no to Tom Brady.
Technically, Jimmy Garoppolo was a winning quarterback with the Raiders last year. He was 4-3 as a starter.
Just win, baby.
Oh, man. Let's get Robert in Washington State. He's up there in Washington State.
Wazoo.
Robert, what's up, Robert? What's going on, man?
Thank you for taking the call. Listen every day at work, and I just wanted to give a little positive feedback for the Niners lately. Obviously, you guys know the offseason hasn't, I don't think, went the way anybody had wanted it to go as far as players and retention. But I think that's social media era happens to feed into the hangover narrative, as far as if you look at all the trades and, you know, free agents signing around the league with different teams, it's like if you put it in perspective and don't get it twisted, they're all trying to play catch-up. Always have been with us. We have the most stacked roster in ball. I have a feeling we'll get Ayuk and Trent in here shortly. Trent really doesn't need an offseason, I don't think. You want to get that old boy warmed up, but, you know, let's not get it twisted. It's not like we're playing catch-up to the Lions or the Rams. You know, we've been the crown jewel for the last 5-10 years,
yeah.
You know, debatably with some years in there, but, I mean, I think that's the whole Super Bowl hangover narrative, though, is all this social media crap and everybody chiming in on rumors and this and that, and it kind of just feeds into it, and that bleeds.
Again, just, you know, this is where people feel comfortable.
You let them cook.
I can feel that one coming down the pipe. The way, like, he was talking, it's like, oh, he's got one in the chamber.
Might as well just book Xavier McDaniel, for crying out loud. Just get the show all the way canceled, man.
All time Xavier McDaniel interview.
Were you on the board for that?
Stephen Langford turned around and looked at me like he saw Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, my gosh. We saw that one coming. He started off that interview slow.
He did.
And we're like, all right, man, why did we book this guy? Why did we book him? Then he said, you know, get your ass up. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know.
He's going to break somebody's mother effing jaw.
Yeah, and then it was like, oh. I couldn't stop laughing.
So good.
It was so good.
I just love when people are like, Kittle yesterday, we might replay, like they're authentic, bro. Like, that's what I want to hear from people.
If we have to dump it, we have to dump it.
Yeah, okay.
Who cursed a couple weeks ago?
Peavy, when we had him on.
Right? Oh, yeah, Peavy. Yeah, he did drop a bomb. Yeah, he dropped a couple times.
Will Clark, too.
I mean, I saw.
Will Clark kind of expected it.
Yes.
I mean, he happened a couple times, and I think somebody got in his ear. I was like, yo, dude, you're on terrestrial radio, not a podcast. Because I saw the podcast. He was talking about Jose Canseco.
Oh, Canseco.
Dude, I guess Canseco called Will Clark a three-toed sloth or something like that. And Will Clark said, I was very impressed that he even knew what that was. He goes, I watched National Geographic, so I knew what it was. And it was that podcast story.
I love that beef still. I mean, that's good old-fashioned hatred between players.
He still got beef, man.
I saw Canseco. Well, it was cool because it was my best friend's bachelor party last Saturday. And we went to that. It was the players' weekend in baseball. But they honored Miguel Tejada into the A's Hall of Fame. So I didn't know that heading into it. So, like, I got there a little earlier.
Yeah.
And Canseco was like,
yeah, he had his green jacket on.
Yeah, Canseco had the green jacket. Tejada was there. I think Raleigh Fingers was there. It was Towny was Ricky. Yeah, Ricky was there. Ricky was there, which was awesome. Yep. Like,
Towny was doing the MC.
Towny was doing the MC.
Oh,
it was great. So, it was a great time. I was like, first of all, I was like, Miguel Tejada has taken this long. Guy's an MVP. Like, what are we doing, first of all?
Well, we know what we're doing with the A's. Well,
exactly. But it was really funny just to see Jose and just see the cheering that he still gets there. Like, I don't care, man. He's turned into kind of like this, like, meme figure.
Right.
But he
got a loud ovation.
He got a loud ovation. Like, it's the
Bash
Brothers,
bro. His speech, it was, like, passionate.
Yeah,
huh?
It was good.
He felt like he was about to cry.
No, he did look like he was teary-eyed. Like, and part of it was, like, this is it for the A's at the Coliseum. So, like, it was cool to see that, but I love the old-fashioned hatred between Will Clark and the Bash Bros. Like, that's great. That's good stuff.
Well, boy, Brian Francis, shout out to him, and shout out to the Hoop Chat, everybody in there, Juxilla, everybody in the Hoop Chat. Brian Francis told me a story. He lives in Vegas now. Hasn't come back since graduating high school. Works at a dealership. And he said one day, Canseco walked in. He was on the showroom floor. And it was like, you know, he still thought he had it, right? So, you know, wanted his Corvette. Apparently, a credit check. It's like, Jose, I don't think you qualify for this car, homie.
No.
I don't think you're there, buddy.
Say it ain't so,
there's
Jose.
There's levels to this, and I shouldn't be laughing, man, because I watched 30 for 30 broke. And my ex-chick. This is a girl I used to date back in the day. We're watching 30 for 30 in the Broke, and she was like, turn it off in 5 minutes. I can't watch this. So it's like, what? This is fascinating. So anyway, I ended up watching it by myself, and it's like, it's not funny, but it is funny. It's like Andre Rison waking up with like $15,000 in the inside pocket, $30,000 on the floor. It's like, I built 3 ice cream parlors. I've been to him like 2 times, like, you know? But Canseco, I love Canseco, right? 40-40, all the stuff. But You know, that Corvette, it was just like, yeah, I don't know if you got the credit.
That's the least surprising thing I've heard about Jose Canseco.
I couldn't believe it. It's like, Jose, yeah, I don't know if you're going to be driving off the showroom floor with this bad boy. I
guess you could say he struck out on that one. Oh, come on. Stop. That was a low-hanging fruit.
By the way, when I was a yard bucker, we did these videos. And we're getting back to the Niners second. It's a Friday. We're having some fun. I'm at TPC, I think it's in Hayward. TPC.
Yeah.
And all these guys, Derek Deese, golf tournament, Low Deal was there.
Yeah, I think I've been to that one. Jerry Rice was
there. I did an interview with Jerry Rice there. Me and my boy Eddie were like, you know, would you be able to run a quick slant right there? And Jerry Rice told me, he goes, what? I'll run right through you. I'll take your soul. I was like, damn. The GOAT just told me a sec, you know.
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. But Canseco's on the course, right? So we're like, you know, what's got to go? You know, In-N-Out Burgers, Super Duper, all this stuff, right? He goes, well, you know, true story. I got to find a video. I'll show it to you during the break. He goes, yeah, you know, I'm going to say no. In-N-Out's got to go because they put, like, the steroid, the stuff in the burgers or whatnot. And he brought up steroids. And I'm looking like, what? And then he goes, and he drives a ball like 500 feet. I mean, he just smokes one.
He does.
Smokes one off the tee. The ball got obliterated. I was like, all right, that's Jose Canseco. I mean, it's just.
He had to say steroids.
He had to say steroids. I will find a video. We'll play it back. I swear to God, it was unbelievable.
Juiced.
So.
That's the book. Juiced, right? Juiced. There it is.
Oh, my God. He sold everybody out.
Palmeiro, Maguire, his own teammates.
But no, he said, he goes, Barry Bonds got
nothing
out. That's
a name I've not heard in a long time.
Palmeiro. There you go.
Yeah. But he said Barry Bonds, Jose Canseco. Well, Canseco's like, I got nothing on Barry. Barry's like, CIA, G-13 classified. I got nothing on him.
I got nothing on him. It's my guy right there. I'm not touching it.
I'm not touching it.
But my own teammates? Nah, whatever.
Oh, man. Anyway, that was just too much, man. By the way, you're listening to 95.70 Game, KGMZ, FM, and Nation 1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. So, who's got the most to gain from a Super Bowl? That's a question for our roaster, Zucci, man. Who you teased it. Who would benefit the most from a Super Bowl victory with the 49ers?
I mean, to me, it's not even close, and I think this is going to be it for most people because he has just been synonymous with close but no cigar for his whole career, whether it's an offensive coordinator or head coach now with the San Francisco 49ers, is Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan needs that championship. His father won two. He is becoming, and we were talking about the Eagles, and we'll go back to them. He's becoming Andy Reid in Philadelphia if he doesn't win a Super Bowl. Now, he went to two here with the San Francisco 49ers. Andy only did it once in Philadelphia. Donovan McNabb, they came up short. Right. Remember, he couldn't run the two-minute offense. He was winded, all that sort of stuff. T.O., one of the great performances of all time with the broken leg in that Super Bowl. I think it gets slept on still to this day. What do you have, 100-plus yards receiving in that game? He was unbelievable. But it's Kyle Shanahan. Because sooner or later, Bonte, if they don't compete this year for it, like we just expect they're going to be in the NFC Championship game again this year.
That ends.
The NFC's getting better. I was talking about it this morning on my show. Like, the Bears are coming. The Packers are coming.
Yep.
The Lions just re-signed everyone.
They've arrived.
They're doubling down. Yep. The Rams, do you see what Puka Nacua did last year?
Yeah, I saw.
He had the greatest receiving season for a rookie ever. Cooper Kupp is still there.
Yep.
Oh, they added Blake Corum too, right? Pretty good player out of Michigan.
Oh, he's a baller.
Now, they lost Aaron Donald, but you know what? They can make it work.
No, they got two backs now. Who's it? Kyren Williams?
Kyren Williams, too.
Kyren Williams with Blake Corum. And Blake Corum with Rose Bowl. What me? Oh, I said, this guy's a gamer.
If they could slow the game down and take the ball out of Stafford's hands, keep him healthy and upright, like, Stafford's still that guy. I know, like, he gets hurt a lot, but he was a baller in that Lions game in the playoffs. I don't want him to have the ball at the end of a game because he can make the plays and make the throws to beat you. The Arizona Cardinals. I know people are sleeping on them. I like Jonathan Gannon.
They play hard, man.
I'm a sucker for training camp videos, too. Marvin Harrison's going to be so sick.
You know, Marvin Harrison.
Have we slept on him, by the way?
He was the first
wide receiver
taken.
Everybody's
talking Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze, but Marvin Harrison Jr. in that Hard Knocks offseason with New York Giants, when he was meeting with the New York Giants, they asked him, are you going to work out? He goes, I'm not training for this. I'm training for September. Yep. I'm training for games.
Yep.
I said, whoa, I've never seen that. Oh, well, okay.
He is his father's son. He is his father's son.
I'm training for game day.
He's not no-nonsense kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm training for game day. Not 40-yard drives.
Yeah, a lot more swag than his dad,
He's got some swag, but he is. Baldy was breaking it down yesterday a little bit between breaks. It was like, he is like his daddy. A little weird, a little quirky, but Duke ball.
Right, and Baldy knows his Colts, and he knows Marvin Harrison very well, so he definitely knows his son. And then he got, you've mentioned this guy that's kind of worrying you, and this team that's worrying you. I'm not there yet because I need to see a Geno Smith, and they brought in Sam Howell, but it's the Seattle Seahawks. This division's going to be a lot harder, I think, now that I am thinking about it. Just like, I could see them splitting against any one of these teams now. In the past, I thought it would be a foregone conclusion. They'd go 5-1 because maybe you do a thing like you did with the Rams last year where you don't need the win, so you just rest everyone.
So Zucci May proposed that question. Who would benefit more from a Super Bowl? And here he is texting right now. I think he just woke up. Christian McCaffrey. Would he benefit? Would Jet York benefit from a Super Bowl the most? Would it be Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel? Because Deebo Samuel, I think right now, if we said Hall of Fame, I don't know if he's in a Hall of Fame. He's in a Hall of Very Good. But with the Super Bowl or two,
it takes it over the top.
Yeah. It kind of takes it over the top. Now you're really in the conversation.
Trent Williams.
Yeah. I feel like he's walking into the Hall of Fame anyway. Fred Warner. Where's he at?
Trent needs some redemption, though, too, because that might have been one of his worst games I've ever seen him play, and it wasn't the biggest stage of his career.
It was. Mike Snow on YouTube. Bonte and Shasky benefit the most from a Super Bowl win. Could definitely use it.
The fans always need it, man.
The fans always need it. No doubt we need it.
I thought someone was going to say the overnight dancers would benefit the most from it.
Well, the overnight dancers would. Parade day? Super Bowl day? Oh, my God. Can you imagine winning a Super Bowl and then you end up in a strip club? Like, I don't know how that correlates. Maybe you just don't even care. You're just like, the hell.
Dollar bills.
I'm going to end with a happy ending.
There you go. Oh, relax. We're not going full Robert Kraft here. Okay, so let's, come on, back up the truck.
Let me, sorry. Edda's still asleep.
Yeah, come on. We got children. It's Friday. Kids are getting in their cars, Bonte.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
I mean, I told you, we're the horniest and hungry show in America. It's okay.
There ain't nothing you can do about it.
Not a damn thing you can do about it.
Jesus. Who's it for you? Who is it? I said Kyle Shanahan. Who is it, Bonte? Kyle needs this.
It's easy to say Brock Purdy. It's easy to say Nick Bosa, George Kittle. The guy who benefits the most from a 49ers Super Bowl win is Jed York.
Wow.
It's Jed York. Because I still think there's some fans on the fence who think, whatever. It's Shanahan and Lynch. Whatever. He's just doling out the money.
Where are you at with Jed York right now? I thought he's kept his head down. He's kept his nose clean. Like, he's been very good speaking to the media when asked, like during the Super Bowl week. He was talking to the media, right? And he was saying, you know what? We got to reset the market for this guy. I think that kind of scared some fans a little bit when he heard something say like that.
No, it did. Oh, yeah.
So that was something that we haven't heard in a while. So maybe Jed spoke a little bit too much there. But for the most part, I think he's recovered his image in an immense way.
I mean, listen, I think he's done great. He's given out over $400 million in guaranteed money. I mean, McCaffrey, Bosa, Kittle, Warner, Trent. Jimmy Garoppolo got paid.
Niners are a cash cow right now.
D4 got paid. Eric Armstead got paid. Dre Greenlaw got paid. Charvarius Ward got paid. A lot of guys have gotten paid by Jed York and the 49ers. He's given out a lot of guaranteed money. My boy Jordan Watkins is coming in. Shout out Stanford. They play TCU next Friday. Brock Purdy's bank account benefits the most with a Super Bowl. There's no doubt. But in terms of just status, credibility, fanfare, I'm going to go Jed York. Not to say Jed York has done something that hasn't been done since Eddie DeBartolo owned the team. And finally, Jed York puts his stamp. This is his baby now. He's running the show from up top, and he stayed out the way. He's, for the most part, stayed at John Lynch's and Kyle Shanahan's way. Now, I know a lot of people will say Kyle Shanahan may benefit from a Super Bowl win the most, but 888-957-9570, I want to get Loveman's answer on the other side. Who benefits from a Super Bowl the most on the 49ers?
And on the other side, I kind of want to do the opposite of that. Who has the most to lose this season for San Francisco? That's kind of what I wanted. That's the nitty-gritty of the conversation as well.
I kind of know the thrower of the football, Brock Purdy, may have the most to lose here. We'll explain that on the other side. A lot of fun conversations here. Shayla, shout out 745. I know the kids are going back to school this week. A lot of school, so kids are back in the car. Everybody's back in the car. No more crack, crack, crack talk. No more overnight dancers. Unless we're talking ballet. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California. I'm optimistic like BPA.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.